is To Your Health with Dr. Chad Kingsley, Mojave County Public Health Director, and Roger Galloway. To Your Health keeps you informed on all the health issues facing our country. Be healthy. Stay healthy. Here's To Your Health.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Health. Dr. Chad Kingsley is not going to be with us this time around, but we're going to get into some topics, as usual, about our Mojave County Health Department and all of the good services that they perform and the positive things that occur. The topic we're going to talk about today is going to be coming from Carrie Pastella. She is the Behavioral Health Coordinator for the County Health Department. She is with us here right now. And Carrie, right off, if you would, just so people understand, what does it mean by those words, behavioral health?
Yeah, behavioral health, in a nutshell, just people that are living with schizophrenia or other mental health issues, it generally doesn't have to have a negative connotation, and that's what we're working really hard to correct right now, is destigmatize the word of having a behavioral health issue. So it's a broad spectrum. It can be anything from autism all the way to schizophrenia, mm-hmm. and everything in between. As a behavioral health coordinator for the county, I adhere to our mission and vision, which is healthy people and healthy communities. So my job is to not only provide evidence-based curriculum to our community, mm-hmm. The entire county, as they tell me their needs and wants for their city or town, but also to provide service linkage and to try to bridge those gaps in services that we have here in our county.
I think one of the interesting things or questions that individuals out there, people have about something like this, what is the county in charge of, and what are our tri-cities like Bullhead, Kingman, and Lake Havasu? Do you have things that overlap, or is this all county?
So we work very closely with every behavioral health provider in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, we have our rural towns that don't have a behavioral health entity there.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is a lot of outreach as well, where we try to get to those small towns that don't have services, and we try to give them resource lists. And I often give out my business card, or I'm very open to taking phone calls and emails and providing that service linkage to them. So it's not the focus, by no means, is just on the tri-cities, the bigger cities. We focus on all 13,000 square miles, including Colorado City.
Yeah.
It's just been a joy for me, even though I've only just been here a year, but just trying to get out, see what our needs and what our wants are in the community, see what we have in the community to provide to our community members, and then link them to appropriate services.
Okay. Now, you've only been with this particular job. Is that also how long you've been with the county? 1 year?
Yes, just about one year and 5 months.
What did you do before?
So prior to this, it's going to be interesting, but I did corrections for 13 years. So I started on the security side, which, you know, was the punitive side, and then I transitioned later towards the end of my career to be a substance abuse counselor. So I am licensed with the state of Arizona Board of Behavioral Health, and I realized, and I think it's GEO was the correctional facility, I realized and they realized that inmate today, neighbor tomorrow. So it needs to be less punitive and more rehabilitative for these men.
That's a battle kind of you have to fight.
It is. It's consequences still need to be in place, but we need to realize that these men are eventually going to come back into our community. So if we can give them warm handoffs, and just for example, what GEO's doing right now is following their released inmates or guys for up to a year after they release, and they provide them with housing for up to 6 months and transitional housing. If they can prove that they have a job, they'll buy them the equipment that they need. So if a chef needs knives, I've seen them spend upwards of $900 in trying to, just instead of just kicking them out of the nest, you know, we're kind of helping them fly for a year and make sure they don't crash and burn again.
I'm wondering about this. We've talked about this relating in previous episodes of To Your Health. Dr. Kingsley and I have talked about Mojave County being a rural county, of course. Do we have a bigger problem with substance abuse? Do we have a bigger problem with behavioral issues in a rural county overall than we do in Phoenix or Tucson, for example?
I don't think that we have a bigger problem. I think it's very more noticeable because even though we are one of the largest counties, we're very spread out. So when you're in our larger cities, you notice more people. And we're also kind of the last stop. People kind of just get stuck here on their way to Vegas or on their way back down to Phoenix, and they just kind of land here. And that's why I think we see so many people on our corners and streets, which is unfortunate, but they are struggling, and they do have behavioral health issues or addiction issues, or those often co-occur together. So I think although we have way more mental health facilities than I knew of originally, and there are more coming, so those positive. So there's Revive Behavioral Health. They are already in Bullhead City, and they have 96 beds for treatment for people that are struggling with mental health issues and substance abuse issues.
Who actually pays for all that?
Revive will take access, and they also take self-pay. Speaking to you about GEO, they work with an entity down in Maricopa County called New Freedom, where they pay for the housing. GEO, the privatized prison, pays for that. So I have now connected Revive with GEO in the hopes that we can get the men that are being released paid for transitional housing for 6 months to a year.
You said men.
Well, at the prison, most of these are men.
Oh, okay.
However, Revive is going to open in Kingman here. They're hopefully going to break ground in February, and they will house 48 women. And then Revive in Bullhead will be 96.
How many people do you think you're able to reach and effectively help? I mean, do some fall by the wayside? I mean, the numbers I would think would be astronomically higher than the figures we're talking about right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, you just can't reach everyone, especially when you're speaking about substance use issues. They really have to want it themselves. And there is no one true fix-all for this. So, if I knew that this would work for everyone, I would tell everyone to do this. But we are reaching people, and we are seeing people in recovery, and we are seeing people that are living with behavioral health issues managing those issues. So although there does seem prevalent that we have a lot of people struggling in our community with these, and you see them out and about, we are helping more than it.
Okay, I guess I'm kind of wondering, are we making great progress, so progress, or is it better than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or is it becoming increasingly more difficult and worse?
So I would like to say that one of our barriers is that we don't have many providers, and when we do get them, they don't generally tend to stay, so that's been an issue, but as we are opening more and more inpatient facilities and residential homes and sober living housing, we're seeing an increase in people getting better, like improving their quality of life and how they are living. And that's going to draw more providers to us. The unfortunate side of behavioral health is take Southwest Behavioral Health or Mojave Mental Health, who have been our biggest providers for many, many years. They've been overrun. Their caseloads are just enormous, and so burnout and turnover is a huge issue. But the more people we bring to the community to work with individuals struggling or living with behavioral health issues, the better the outcomes are going to be. So I would say yes, it's better than 5 or 10 years ago. Can we do better? Absolutely. But the goal is to do better. And
let me ask you this. And be as specific as you can be here. Let's take an example of a problem of a certain individual, maybe a typical kind of individual in the county that our health department and your division can be able to help. Can you go from the beginning to the end of what you're able to do for that person and tell us what that problem might be? Well, this kind of a typical situation.
Sure, Ross. So I actually just had this occur. I was at the Walk Away from Drugs in Lake Havasu City, tabling the event. And that's another thing I do a lot is go out to these events and make myself known and readily available. But I had a gentleman that had recently become sober, and he was from another state, so he needed help in learning how to get our access. And that's not something that I am well versed in. So what I did was reach out to Kelly Williams in our community services division, and I connected this individual with her. She got him the access paperwork. And now, once he's completed that, he'll come back to me, and I'll link him with the appropriate entity to help him continue in his recovery.
And when you talk, you're still a little bit general about his problem. Can you be more specific and how he can be helped?
Okay. So, I don't know. His problem was addiction. I don't know which substance particularly.
Okay.
My role here at the county is no longer to provide counseling to individuals, but to be the service linkage. So when he does come back to me after he has his access approved, I will connect him to Southwest, or if he's interested in Revive, or inpatient, or if he just wants outpatient. Whatever it is, I will connect him to the appropriate person, and then I'll continue to follow him for as long as he'd like me to make sure that he's doing okay.
Do you get, I assume you do, you get both those that want help and need help who come forward themselves, and then I assume the opposite is true, too, those who are kind of, they come out for various reasons, for law enforcement reasons or something like that, or am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. Like, you see both sides of the coin, so you have those that come to you and or just spill it all and you know, are asking very honestly for help. And then you have some that are kind of timid and they just kind of want to take the resource, but they're not really interested in treatment yet. Mm-hmm. So they're in, well, just take addiction, for example. There is what's called the 5 stages of change. So some people are in pre-contemplation where they don't really understand that they have a problem yet. And then contemplation, someone may have mentioned, like a family member or a coworker, hey, I think you might have a problem with alcohol or some other drug. So they start to contemplate that maybe they have a problem. And then they go into actually deciding that, yes, this is a problem. And then they go into recovery, and then you can enter the 5 stages at any point, and you can all go backwards or forwards. And as we know, fortunately, relapse is generally a part of addiction, but I used to tell my clients out at the prison that consider it you're building your dream house and you break a window. You don't burn down the whole house. Mm-hmm. It's just one, you know, tiny back step. You realize it right away, and then you move forward towards recovery again.
How many employees will the county work with you, and is it enough?
Well, I will say here in the Department of Public Health, I generally work with everyone. So if I think there's a client or an individual in our community that not only needs my help in behavioral health, but also with, say it's a young mother and I can connect her with WIC, which is Women, Infant, and Children, or if I can connect them with tobacco cessation, because that goes a lot with addiction. They usually generally stop one substance and then pick up another, which may be less harmful, but smoking is probably more harmful.
Yeah.
So, and then I work with the nursing division as well. We haven't started yet, but I have a colleague named Jessica, and we're about to start going out with them on their mobile unit for mm-hmm. the health department. So we will offer screenings to them for depression, anxiety, substance use, whatever the need is. And then if they don't feel quite comfortable speaking to us yet, there are plenty of self-screenings they could take with them and do at home with the information and resource list. And so we don't want to just give them a screening and then they score it and see, you know, the oh my goodness factor, something's wrong with me. We would very much tell them, if you score in this range or here, we want you to connect with one of these resources, or if you have a private practitioner, we suggest that you go and speak to them more about it.
We've got one mobile unit,
yes.
Right? Does it go into the more rural areas of our county as opposed to Bullhead, Kingman, and Havasu? Or?
I believe it will. I don't know that it has yet, because we just maybe got it a few months ago.
Do any of the cities have their own mobile units as well?
No.
No.
Just,
so this is a Lone Ranger.
Yeah, this is, but not to say that we couldn't see more in the future. I mean, that would be a wonderful if we could do that, but as you know, budgeting
is a big, big problem in the county right now in all areas, so there's no question about that.
Right.
You know. Do you have a full staff? Does the county have a full staff right now with what they're allowed to have as far as that's concerned?
As far as what I know in behavioral health, I do. So my position is designed to be me and then a CHESS, which is a community health education specialist, and that's Jessica, who I was talking to you about. As far as WIC and nutrition, I don't know if I can speak on that, but for what I do, I am fully staffed.
We talked about behavioral issues earlier, you know, let's say schizophrenia. There are increasingly a number of crimes committed across the country, mass shootings and things like that, and much of it often is a mental problem of some kind. Is there anything at all that can be done to curb that? You can't predict it. You don't know what's going to happen. This one individual might be fine one day, and the next day he or she is out there committing a horrible crime.
Yes. Just thinking about the main shooter, it makes me very sad, because he did go apply for a gun, and he did mark that he had recently been inpatient, so they disqualified him at that point, but somehow he was still able to get his hands on some assault firearms, and as you know, he killed 18 people. Unfortunately, I just think because of the stigma, people don't want to admit that they are hearing voices in the case of schizophrenia, or or seeing or hearing things that you and I don't see. And a lot of times they slip through the cracks, or let's just say, in my last role at the prison, these guys have been neglected their whole lives and grown up in terrible situations, and you can see that when you do their biopsychosocials, that, you know, after 1,000 of them, there's a pattern. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that with the burnout and the caseloads, that these men or women struggling with issues regarding mental health or substance use finally maybe build a rapport with you and drop the wall a little bit. And then the counselor decides they're burnt out and they're moving on to somewhere else. So once again, they're neglected and dropped out, so they don't continue to seek help like they should. Or oftentimes we see they'll take medication for a while and they'll feel better and then they stop the medication.
Yeah.
And that's when it returns, and they're not always able to see that or recognize that because they've stopped the medication, this is why they're again struggling.
Do you think some of those individuals are actually incurable, so to speak? Or do you believe everybody can be helped no matter where they are at a particular time?
So there are some, there are some personality disorders that generally I would not say are curable. They are manageable, but that person has to probably do cognitive behavioral therapy and in more intensive. One of those is borderline personality disorder. There's not usually a medication to just stop the effects of what happens having that disorder. So a lot of times you'll see those patients have a revolving door kind of living situation. But I think one of the other issues, and that's what I was trying to tell you about rewriting the narrative and reducing stigma, is we have to stop giving people with behavioral health issues or mental health issues titles.
Like
crazy or addict, or it's just simply no different than living with a physical health condition. Like, I have cardiovascular disease, so do I want to be titled heart attack waiting to happen? Not really. So I think reframing that and how we relate to them is just making them human by not, you know, they're still human beings, and they still have a lot to contribute and give to society. So just simply changing from that person is the schizophrenic to saying that person is living or trying to manage their schizophrenia is kind of changing the narrative and how people view people. So if you come to me and ask for help with addiction, Roger, and I just simply straight away call you an addict and crazy and not, you know, it's going to give you a negative feeling and you're probably not going to want to come see me again. Whereas if I just embrace you and say, Roger, I understand that you're living with schizophrenia or addiction, let's see what we can do to help you, because it's not an end-all for you. I mean, this is simply something you're living with, and we're going to help you manage it. I think that will change a lot of things.
You got a tough task.
I
mean, you agree, right?
That I do.
You know, and it's certainly not easy with certain individuals that it sounds like the health department, the Mojave County Health Department, tries at least to do all they can. And you have I would assume you would say, yeah, we could use a few more people. We could use a little more money on our budget in general. That's not going to come, as we know, in the foreseeable future. So does that make your job, like, do you reach a stalemate, or do you say, no, we're still going ahead and we're still accomplishing things?
Oh, for me, we're 100% still going ahead. My heart is in this, my passion is in this, and I love our community. I live here in Kingman, so I have a fondness for Kingman, but we are the boots on the ground, and you'll see us out at many events and all over the place. We were just in Colorado City. We'll go to Meadview, Dolan Springs, wherever the need is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make time for it. And it doesn't always necessarily require more money.
Is law enforcement a partner with you on this, with some people that you have to deal with?
So I work closely with a CISM team, which is made of law enforcement and firefighters and EMTs. CISM is Critical Incident Stress Management Team. And what they do is very important, but they, after a major event, say, I don't know if you recall, in Bullhead City, not too long ago, they had that terrible SUV versus ATV accident.
Yes.
So what the CISM team is, and I'm part of that team, we come out and we just create a safe space for the law enforcement officers, the firefighters, and the EMTs that have responded to that certain event. Their bosses are not there. Nothing that is said in that room goes anywhere else other than that room, and we just let them vent and cry and get it out, where many years ago that was unheard of. I mean, law enforcement, firefighters kind of just put that all under the rug and never were to talk about it again. And that's not a good way to live. It's not healthy. So creating that safe space and allowing them a place to vent about what went wrong or what they thought their boss overstepped in, and then just crying it out. I mean, this particular event was horrific for some of those first responders.
It's got to be emotional for people a lot of different times. We're coming to the end of this here right now. I just wanted to ask you, if there's someone listening to the show right now and knows of someone like this that needs help, the way you've been describing, where do they go? How do they go about this?
So depending on where they live, there are the major entities, as we spoke, are in the Tri-Cities or Southwest and Mojave Mental Health. But then Revive is coming up. We have Hildy's House. Mm-hmm. Several entities are here for help. But if anyone is unsure of where to go or who to link up with or who takes what insurance, if I can give my email address on here, I would be happy to do the legwork. Mm-hmm. So that email address is PASTEC@Mojave.gov.
All right. Thank you. This is, I think it's a very interesting discussion that we've had, because I think a lot of people don't know about this, and then the health department is so involved and capable of following through on many of these problems that we're talking about that affect every community, of course. We'll be back here next week. Hope everybody enjoys. Thank you very much, Carrie Pastella, for being with us, Mojave County Health Department, and we'll see everyone the next time. Thank you, Roger.
To Your Health with Dr. Chad Kingsley, Mojave County Public Health Director, and Roger Galloway. Be healthy. Stay healthy. Here's To Your Health.